For the sake of time tonight, I'm just going to share with you a story about a father. What I'll have to say tonight will be addressed mainly to Christian fathers, or even non-Christian fathers, and hopefully you will trust him as your Savior. I mentioned earlier that God has three institutions, the home, the church, the government, and I think God's greatest institution is the home, because it's God's oldest institution. And as goes the home, so goes the church, and as goes the church, so goes the nation. It all goes back to the Christian home. The Christian home can either be the savior or the destroyer of civilization. I really believe that. For that reason, I want us to have good, strong Christian homes here. And I like preaching a series of sermons because you don't wonder what you're going to preach on next Sunday night. You know, weeks ahead of time, at least in what direction you're going. And so tonight I want to share with you this story. In Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 1 and going down through verse 13, you have the story of the transfiguration of Christ. How he took with him Peter, James, and John and went up on the mount and was transfigured. And while Jesus was up on the mount of transfiguration, a man brought unto Jesus his son, or brought unto the disciples his son. He was demon-possessed. And he brought his son to his disciples, thinking that they could cast out the demons. The disciples tried, but they were unsuccessful. When Jesus came back off the mountain, verse 14, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And I want to lift out of that text that expression, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. I want you to think about it. I'll probably quote it several times tonight. Master, I have brought unto thee my son. You would normally think that these were words spoken by a mother. We usually think of the mother as having a greater concern for the children than the father. We usually think of the mother as being a greater lover for the children than the father. I guess that's so because of our mottos. I've been in homes that has little plaques on the wall that says, God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. I've read other little mottos that said, mother's love is next to God's love. I've read others that said, what is home without a mother? But I do not recall ever seeing a plaque on a wall that said, what is home without a father? I do not ever recall seeing a plaque that said, God could not be everywhere, so he made fathers. And usually the father is thought of a necessary evil. He's just in the way. He makes the living, brings home the check, endorses it, and gets out of the way. He gets his fishing gear together and heads to the lake to get out of the noise and confusion of home. I remember one Father's Day trying to find some songs about Father. I couldn't find too many. Our songbook is loaded down with songs about Mother. Tell Mother I'll be there. If I could hear my mother pray again. Many other songs, but a few songs about Father. About the only one we can sing about Father is the faith of our fathers. But I found a little song about Dad. It said, Dad, 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 the dear old worthless geezer. The fusses I've had with that old patient teaser. He lacks the spirit of a mouse. Most anyone can down him. We let him hang around the house. It's cheaper than to drown him. I didn't think it appropriate to sing in the Sunday morning service, but it's the only one I could find. I found another one entitled, Everybody Works But Father. I didn't get the words to that one. But these words here are not the words of a mother. These are the words of the father. Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Now, wait a minute. I do not think the mothers get too much praise. I do not think you can say too much for good Christian mothers. And I know of 100 stories related to good Christian mothers. One I want to share that I learned this week about Dr. J. Frank Norris and his mother, a little Christmas story. I'll share it sometime when I speak about the Christian mother. But these are the words of the Father. Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Now, what do these words tell us about the Father? Well, may I say, first of all, they do not tell us whether he was rich or poor. In eternity, that will matter very little. They do not tell us where he was a success or a failure in his business. In eternity, that will matter very little. They do not even tell us whether he was a Methodist or a Baptist. If I had been writing, I would have told he was a Baptist. But that will matter very little in eternity. As a matter of fact, they don't even record this father's name. It just says a father brought his son and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. He's one of those humble fathers who does his work, but who fails to leave his autograph. And the first time you see this father, he's on his knees. He's praying. No, these words do not tell us these things about the father, but they suggest some very important things about him. And I want to share them with you. Master, I have brought unto thee my son. In the first place, these words tell us that this father was a man of faith. He believed in Christ. He not only believed in Christ, he believed Christ was the answer to his problem. At that moment, he thought nothing was more important than going to Christ. He was a man of faith. You know what would be wonderful for our country? If we had fathers who were men of faith, strong men, believed in God, believed in prayer. General MacArthur said, I don't want to be remembered as the great general who led the armies and liberated the people. But I want to be remembered as the Christian father who read the Bible and had family prayer. Hilding Harbison tells of the time when they were in Vancouver. And outside of his window, he heard this little routine, my dad can beat your dad. Mr. Harbison said, I heard one fellow say, my dad knows the mayor. The other little fellow said, that's nothing, my dad knows the governor. He said, little voice piped up, I recognize, is that my own boy? He said, that's nothing, boys. My dad knows God. He said, immediately I closed the window and ran to my room and closed the door. That's my boy, hear me crying. But he said, I got on my knees and prayed, oh God, may I always live that my boy can say, my dad knows God. This father was a man of faith. You know, I am a preacher and I observe churches. There's been my observation that, generally speaking, there are more women and children in churches than there are men. And I'm very grateful to God that he's given us here what I consider a man's church. That even in our Sunday school classes, our boys are taught by men and not by ladies, though I'm all for ladies. I'm not against ladies. I married one. But we have some men here, and I think the solution of America's problems would be just in having some men of God who had faith in Christ, who could be laid. But there's a man of faith. This man's desire to help his boy brought him to Christ. It wasn't his own need that brought him to Christ, but the need of his boy. And I think I'd like to stop and make this application. I think every man ought to be a Christian. And every man ought to come to Christ. If not for his own need, for the need of his family, he ought to come to Christ. Even if he doesn't believe in heaven or hell or eternity, he ought to come to Christ for the need of his family. You can't be a good father without being a man of faith. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the need of your boys and your girls and your family ought to be enough to bring you to Christ.
If nothing else brings you to Christ, you want to be a Christian because of your boys and your girls who are walking your footsteps. I think many fathers are led to Christ in this fashion. I could give you stories of some, but time doesn't permit it. May I say the second thing that this text tells us about this father is not only was he a man of faith, but he was a lover. I mean by that, he was a father who loved his children. You would expect a mother to come crying to Jesus with a little lad and say, "Master, I brought unto thee my son." But you normally don't expect that of a father. We usually think that dad doesn't love like mother loves, because dad is not as tender. He's not as expressive as mother is. But dad does love. And I would want our boys and girls in this church to think that dad loves any less than mother. Nor would I want our boys and girls to think our Christian dads here did not love as much as mother. Because I think every Christian dad loves his children as much as any Christian mother loves them. And I think it's wrong to give our children the idea mother loves you more than dad. No, dad doesn't cry as easy. He thinks it's feminine to cry. And he'll swallow a lump in his throat and he'll cry driving to work and wipe his tears away before he goes to the office. But he's the big man at home. He's the leader. He's the foundation. If dad cries, everybody gets nervous. Dad must be stable. He must be a leader. But because he doesn't cry doesn't mean he doesn't love. Dad loves. I remember on the farm, I was swimming in a lake down behind the house, and I jumped over a fence into the lake. The fence was out into the lake to keep the cows from going out too far. And I'll never forget it. I jumped, and there was an old rusty nail sticking up, and I didn't clear it enough, and the nail caught me here. And it dug as I went across the board and into the lake, and just barely touched at the edge of my heart. My mother screamed and cried. My daddy calmly came and picked me up. And there was something about the touch of my dad that made me know that everything was going to be all right. Just that firm hand, son, you'll be all right, just be calm. My dad was so calm and cool, but there was a tenderness about him. He didn't cry. But they rushed me from that farm to the doctor. I'm 42 years old. I still remember that tender touch, that look in his eye, and I detected a love that my dad had for me. Though he did not express it sometimes like my mother, I detected it. And when this boy took his son to Christ and said, "Master, I have brought my son to thee," he was expressing a love for that son. Several years ago, a story ran in the newspaper in Denver, Colorado. It was a story of a man dying in a hospital room. The doctor said to him, "You're dying." "I don't understand it." He said, "I cannot determine that you have any organic trouble whatsoever. Tell me, sir, have you had some great sorrow?" And the man smiled a little. He cried and said, "Yes, I've had some great sorrow. 20 years ago, my son committed a crime. And I knew that if they caught my son, the penalty would be too much. I didn't want my son to bear it." And he said, "I took the blame for the crime, and I have fled home in my state. And I have been a fugitive of justice for 20 years. I haven't seen my children nor my wife in 20 years. Yes, I've known some great sorrow. And that sorrow literally killed that father. Who could say that any mother loved a child any greater than that father loved a child? And so dad doesn't cry. But I wouldn't want any child here to think dad doesn't love me." This dad not only was a man of faith, this dad was a lover. May I quickly say this father was a man of good sense. Master, he said, I have brought unto thee my son. Wait. He did not send his son out in search of Jesus on his own. He did not drive his son to church and let him out and go home. He did not say to the wife, you take our boy to see Jesus, he needs Jesus. He did not say to some next door neighbor or friend, would you mind if my son went with you? I understand you are going to see Jesus. And this is where many, many, many fathers fail. They send their boys and their girls out on their own to find Jesus for themselves. With the little cliche that I want my children to make their own decision. They leave it to chance. He sits at home and watches TV or sleeps on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. And the van comes by and picks up the boy and carries him to Jesus. While the father sits at home half asleep. The men in America have failed in this respect. They have delegated the responsibility of their children to someone else. And I want to say to you Christian fathers here tonight, and to you fathers, whether you be Christians or not, the responsibility of your children does not belong to the wife, not the school, not the friends, not the neighbors. But the responsibility of your children belongs to you as a father. You'll answer to God for that responsibility. This is a mistake that David made. David left the responsibility of Absalom with somebody else. He was too busy. And the bitter news came, and David cried, Absalom, Absalom, oh Absalom, my son Absalom. Would to God I had died for thee. But it was too late. This father showed common sense in that he brought his son to Christ. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and every special service, every father ought to come in standing tall, made in the image of God, and say, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Honey, get ready. Get the kids ready. I covet that for our father. I covet that when no mother can say, well, I'm tired. No, honey, I know you're tired. We'll have plenty of time to rest later. Let's go. Church time. Some kid says, well, I know my favorite program's on. I'm sorry. My favorite program's on at church. And your old dad's going to church, boy. And sweet little girl, you're going to church with daddy. Ah, you say it's you. Drag them off to church when they get old. They'll rebel and run away from God and backslide and have nothing to do with God. That's the lie. I got 3 daughters. Sherry's 22. She's married to Rick Camberson, my son-in-law here. On the front pew over there tonight. I thought she may be signing for the desk. These little things used to be little things. We're almost literally born in church. And I even had 10 people say, you drag those little old kids all over the country. You may be able to drag them now, but when they get teenagers, they won't go to church. Well, I've lived to see those friends and neighbors proven wrong. They still go to church. She's married to a preacher tonight. I don't make them go to church. They want to come to church, and both of them are sitting on the front row. Just happens to be that way tonight while I'm preaching. Carry that back to hell with you. And spit it in the devil's face when you see it. My second daughter was born after I become fat. No, just cute as a baby. Well, you drag them. They're tired. My wife wrapped them up in blankets, and I feel sorry for these little things, keep them out all hours of the night. But I said, we'll go. And we went. And my second daughter is engaged to Dave Janney, Dr. Al Janney's son. And he's a preacher. They hadn't quit going to church yet and hadn't got enough. They're both marrying preachers. And my little KK, 7 years old, was coming home from church the other day, and I carried a little Lee Taylor with me. Lee Taylor's my buddy over here. Stand up, Lee. I want to see my buddy. Stand up tall. Up on the bench. Get up on the bench, Lee. Are you on the bench already? Come up on the bench and stand up, Lee. They can't see you. I want to see my buddy. There's my buddy right there. If Mom and Daddy's deaf, Lee's going to be a preacher. I said the other day, Lee, I want you to go home with lunch, to lunch with me. You're going to be a preacher someday. So he went to his mom and dad, and with his little hands he signed, asked, could he go and have lunch with the preacher? And he came and said, I can go this Sunday. I said, come on, you'll go this Sunday. On the way home, Lee was in the back seat, and Tony in the back seat. And I said, Tony, when you get going, I want you to let Lee preach in your church. He said, okay, Daddy. And he said, Daddy, when Lee grows up, why don't you let him preach in your church? I said, I sure will. I'm looking forward to it. And my little girl, KK, 7 years old, sitting on the front seat, said, Daddy, are you going to let my husband preach in your church? And I said, KK, if he's a preacher, I will. She said, if he ain't no preacher, I ain't going to marry him. You can't beat that. Where was I? And so this father brought his son to Christ. He didn't delegate that responsibility to somebody else. He brought him to Christ. I know we live in such a highly organized society today that there's a lot of pressure and a great temptation to leave the responsibility of our children with somebody else. They're at school mostly all day long. And at night we turn them over to servants. Me. Not too many in this church, but some perhaps. Send them off to the movies on Saturday. Shouldn't. Or we set them down in front of a TV and turn it wide open and try to get them occupied with a TV set. And we don't have time for them. Let the TV babysit or the movies or ball games, and the church or the school has them most of the day. And I doubt if there's ever been a day in history when so many fathers were shirking their responsibilities as they are tonight while I'm speaking. I read a story. It would be funny if it wasn't tragic. It's supposed to be a true story. A man was at a county fair, and he went through where the livestock was, and they saw this beautifully proportioned hog. Yeah, I guess it is funny. And the hog had won the blue ribbon. But the fella taking photographs noticed that there was a little skinny boy standing by smoking cigarettes and using some of the dirtiest language that he'd ever heard. He inquired and found the little boy belonged to the same man that raised the hog. He had a blue ribbon hog at the county fair, but he had failed with his son. The reason was he was interested in hogs. I'll dare say if you went to that father's den or living room, next to his chair would have been magazines about hogs. What kind of feed to feed the hog? What to do with him at a certain stage. And he was absorbed with hogs and how to raise hogs. And he raised prize-winning hogs. But he had a boy smoking cigarettes and cursing. Far better it would have been to have raised a sorry hog and a good boy. And I wouldn't doubt if there are not fathers here tonight who've done a better job with your dogs than you have your sons. You snap and the dog comes to you. You say, down, Rover, and he lays down. You can't do one thing with your boy. Fathers, I plead with you in the name of God, in the name of our country, for the sake of righteousness, at least be as good a father as this unnamed father was, who did not leave the responsibility of his child to someone else, but he took it upon himself, and he said, Master, I have brought my son to thee. I think sometimes we're unwilling to pay the price. It's too much trouble to have family prayers. It's too much trouble to give them companionship. It's too much trouble to set a right example. It's easy to turn the task over to the day school and the Sunday school and the preacher. And we expect the preacher and the Sunday school to do miracles with the 1 or 2 hours they have them a week, and you've had them a lifetime. In our Christian schools, occasionally, they do not bring us John the Baptist, but they bring us John Dillinger. They fail everywhere else and thrown out of every other school. And they bring them here and expect us to take them and perform a miracle on them. We cannot do anything with children unless that child has a parent at home who has the same conviction we have and stands for the same principle we stand for and pulls on the same end of the rope we're pulling on. We can't help that child. I read a story of a man who was in a meeting. And a doctor came by and said, Preacher, I want you to pray for my 2 sons. The preacher said, I will. But a little lady standing by wouldn't let it go at that. She said, Are you willing to put yourself on the altar for your 2 boys? He said, What do you mean? She said, Are you willing to tell God that you'll not eat nor sleep? You do nothing but pray until those boys are saved. The doctor looked at the preacher, and the preacher looked at the doctor. And both were a little startled. But the doctor said, Yes, I'm willing. And then in there, he said to God, I won't eat nor sleep till my boys are saved. And 2 nights later, his boys trusted Christ as their Savior. Not many folks are that serious about it. Not only did this father show good sense in bringing his child to Christ, but he showed good sense and that he brought him to Christ while he was a child. He didn't wait until he was grown and stubborn and had his own ideas. He brought him to Christ while he was still a child. Master, I have brought unto thee my son. There will come a day when that boy will be 25 and 26, and you can't bring him to Christ. You ought to bring him to Christ while he's a child. You let him grow up. Get harder. It'll be difficult to bring him to Christ. When he's a year old, you can take him to Sunday school. 2 and 3 and 4. You can bring him in and sit him down by in the church. Oh, let me make this suggestion. Why doesn't every father in this church stand there? Come in this building at every service time and usher your sweet little wife into the pew and then one child after the other. And why don't you sit there with your boys and girls as a family? Until on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, rain, sleet, snow, or flood, they know where they're going. But you're so inconsistent, you'll stay at home for the silliest little thing. And your boy sees through that kind of sorry hypocrisy. Oh, you say you're mean. No, I'm burdened. What difference will it make about anything else except this? That you're the right kind of father. The only thing you can carry to heaven with is your children. You can't carry your automobiles and your real estate and your money. You can't carry your children. He not only showed good sense in bringing him himself, but he brought him while he was still a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart. Be that kind of a father. They honor us when they are children as they possibly never will honor us again. We exercise the power of leadership when they're children that we probably never will exercise again. So for God's sake, bring your children to Christ while they're still children. I'm glad that all of mine trusted Christ when they were young. Oh, I know some snigger at child conversion. But Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The word suffer in the Greek means let little children come to me. What was happening? Parents were saying to their little children, not now, you're not old enough. They were keeping little children away from Christ, and Christ said, let little children come unto me. If they want to come, let them come. No matter how young or how old, let them come. If Christ said it, that's good enough for me. Let the super pious spiritual preachers who are afraid they'll pick them green complain. But I prefer mine to trust Christ as soon as they're old enough to understand. I don't want the devil to have them 2 days beyond the age of accountability, whatever that is. I want them to be saved quick. Happy is the father who can say, Lord, every child in my home I brought to thee. You fathers ought to be jealous if somebody else leads your kids to Christ. If you got one tonight that's old enough to be saved, he's not saved, you ought to go home and talk to him about it. And on your knees by the bed, say tonight, Master, I brought my son to thee. Lead a little bit into Christ, and then you will cry all day tomorrow, Master. I brought my son to thee. And go get your daughter and say, Master, I brought my daughter to thee. Win them to Christ. There is no more precious sight than to see a mother and father bringing their kids down the aisle in this church. It's wonderful to see anybody bringing an unsaved person, but a mother or father excites me to no end. I remember a dear lady from a church of another denomination visited here several Sundays. And she's a little sweet lady, crippled a little. Some may recall her. Sweetest look on her face. And one Sunday morning I gave the invitation. And she came down the aisle with three big teenage boys. Yes. You got them all free. You can sit down. I only claim these my boys any longer than that. That's longer than that. And here they were towering over this sweet little mother. And I was standing at the head of the aisle, and I didn't know what it was about. And she said, it's time for my boys to get saved. Says, I brought them. You tell them what to do. And they just stood there and looked at her. If Mama said it, we're ready. And I led all three of them to college, to Christ, and two of them now are in a Christian university. She didn't know you weren't supposed to do that. You did it anyway. She didn't know she may pick them too green. She just picked them. Master, I brought my son to thee. And what was the outcome of the man's effort? He saved his son. Something's got a hold of the boy. He had a demon in him. And another parallel reading says sometime the boy would wallow, fall in the fire, try to destroy himself. And the man so concerned for the son brought him to Christ. Wait. I meet that boy 30 years later. His hair's thinning. He has on a nice business suit. A smile on his face. He's on the way to church with his children and his family. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Boy, you look like a wonderful Christian dad. Man, you are a blessing to the community and to society. Which world still were your kind? How did you ever come about being such a dad? When I was a little boy, the devils had me. When I was a little boy, I used to walk. And I foamed at the mouth. And the devils cast me in the fire. I would have been burned to death several occasions, but my father jerked me out. And one day my father got up and dressed me and got me ready. And said, son, you're going to Jesus. And my father brought me to Jesus. What else was a boy? And Jesus did something for me that made me the man that I am today. If there was no heaven and no hell, I'd want to bring my boy to Christ for that reason. So he'd grow up to be somebody that was something, that stood for Christian principles. He brought his boy to Christ and his boy was saved. But I can't help but believe that through this experience the Father himself was saved. Maybe not, but maybe he was. Oh, he hadn't missed a football game. And his favorite team was playing. And it went to overtime. And it was 7 o'clock, time for church. I just missed the night. He had to pay a price. He had tired. He'd been working. But I want to ask you, is any price too great to pay to have a Christian home? And to have your boys and girls turn out right? You answer that. It is an old, old story. I hesitate to tell it. I've never told it, but I've heard it many times. About a father who drove a team of spirited horses into a certain village one day. He dropped the lines for an instant and started to step into a store. Someone made some unnecessary noise in the street and the horses dashed away. And in fright, they ran madly down the street. The man turned with almost superhuman strength and lunged and ran as fast as he could and lunged and grabbed a hold of the reins of those horses. And those horses drug that man to the rocks down that road. And people standing by said, turn loose, you fool, turn loose, you fool, turn loose. Those horses are not worth it. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. The wagon's not worth it. Turn it loose. But he would not turn loose. He held on for dear life. But by and by, the wagon stopped. He turned loose of the reins and slumped. And they came as the blood gushed out of his ears and mouth and eyes. And said, you fool, why did you do that? And raising up just a little on one elbow before he died, he pointed to the wagon. And someone went to the wagon. And there was a blanket. They turned the blanket back. And there was a little boy on a little pallet in the back of the wagon. And nobody asked, why did you do it? And nobody said you paid too big a price. They all agreed that the price paid was worth it. And if we agree that that kind of price is worth the saving of a life, just for a few more days maybe to die, is it worth? Am I asking too much to ask you to come to prayer meeting when you're tired for the sake of your boy? Is it asking too much to ask you to put your tithe and offering plate and be a good example to your boys? Is it asking too much to ask you to bring your family to soul winning visitation? Or to Sunday school and prayer meeting? Is that too much to pay? If that's too much to pay, you have a warped sense of value. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own children? Master, I brought my son to thee. I hope every dad here can say that. Master, I brought my daughter to thee. Master, I brought my family to thee. If you can say that, you said it all.